Well, hello there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station.
Hello, my name is Jai Bono. You're on the J-Man Show. My guest today is actress Spy Ling from Red Corner and some wonderful movies. How are you, Baldwin? Good to see you on the show today.
I'm good. So I'm very excited to be on your show. I think, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I've been a fan of yours ever since I saw you in some movies, you know. So yeah, you were such a wonderful actress, you know, and it's a pleasure to have you on today. I appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so I guess my question is, what made you get started? What made you want to become an actress?
What?
What made you want to become an actress?
Made me?
Yeah.
That when I was a child, I was extremely shy. I couldn't talk. I couldn't bring myself to answer teachers' questions. I was just so shy. I was in a box. I was afraid of human beings. I was afraid of a lot of things that I just like, but I feel like my internal world is so rich, so powerful. If I didn't find a way to express it, it's going to explode, have an explosion. So I feel like, but how am I going to free myself? So I find acting, because when I play a character, so in my mind I trick myself, I think I'm pretending to be a character, so then I can be free, because it's not me, because I'm so shy, I'm so afraid. But if I'm pretending to be a character, I can be free. Actually, it's who I am where I'm acting, so therefore I'm so truthful, so powerful, so real, because it's real me. That's how I started.
Okay, yeah, I definitely understand that, you know. So how did you get your first movie role? Okay, so that's good to hear. So how did you get your first movie role, your first film?
My first film, actually, I was belong to a theater in my hometown, Chengdu. Was the state theater, Sichuan Theater. I was playing a comedy, not comedy, it's a musical. And I play a little boy with a tiger's fairy tale show. So the show got picked up by the CCTV China's Century Stage of Beijing. So we performed there dedicated to the 1st of June, which is a celebrity children's festival. So our show picked up because all the kids love Tiger, love me. I play instrument, I sing. So we were there. So we have like 30 or 40, all these young boys in our group. So at that time, the director was choosing for the young actress from the South. Has to be petite, has to be kind of skinny, innocent. So they come to watch our show because our show is so popular. And he saw me, the casting director, actually come to backstage, just say, Biling, I want to meet you because I play boy. He want to see what I look like. So finally, he said, I want you to audition. We want to fly you to the studio in Xi'an. Would you go? So we have like 30 young girls, but they choose me. I said, of course I would go. So they flew me to Xi'an studio doing like probably a month of training and auditioning. Finally, I got the role. But then my state where I perform on the Broadway show wouldn't let me go because they depend on me to make the box office head for the theater. People love my character. So you cannot go, because if you go, we don't have leading actors. So then they made a deal, take a long time for the public, and the big head of the province, they said yes for me to go because they love my performance. So this theater takes 80%. I only got 20% of the salary. So they let me go. So that's where my first film is called On the Beach. So I play this innocent girl from the beach village, but she was sent to the factory in a big city. It was a big deal for the country girl to work there. Then she fell in love with this factory, Alison, elegant guy, fall in love with her, but her parents want to marry her to her cousin. You know, that's a tradition in the village. So it's a struggling where she stands, how she fight, how she eventually break the system, where she go. At that time, actually, the film was picking up for Cannes Film Festival, but because that subject is very controversial, because it's like you marry, in that village, you marry your relatives. You cannot do that, but that's the tradition. So I was promised by my father to marry this cousin. So it's a very beautiful film on the beach. I was running around the beach free. So that's how I started my first film from the stage.
Oh, awesome. That's good to hear. And yeah, because I saw you also in a movie called Red Corner with Richard Gere. That was Richard Gere.
Which one?
Yeah, Red Corner with Richard Gere, right? Richard Gere. That was a good movie.
Richard Gere, yes, Red Corner.
Yeah. What was like working with Richard Gere?
How am I? Speak slowly.
Huh? I'm sorry. I've always liked to work with Richard Gere.
Oh my God, he is such a beautiful human being. He supported me. He wanted me to be good. He wanted me to win. He wanted me to all the audience fall in love with my character because I was new. That was my first leading character. I did not speak English. I played lawyer. Can you imagine the pressure, everything on me? He was just embracing me. Basically, they had audition everyone in the world, from Hong Kong, from England, from China, from US, everywhere, to looking for this leading actress because she's the central, you know, essential and crucial role for the film. She's a lawyer, defend him. So finally, somehow they found me because through audition process. So it was taking 3 months to audition. So in the end, basically, the director asked me, how you feel about it? I said, after all this, you can send me to the mental hospital. It was really, really a torture. So I got the role because in the beginning, if they say no, it's okay. But after 3 months, everybody's talk about, oh, Biden, in the final screen test. Then if they don't want you, you feel like somebody like have a string and drop you, right? Can't take the pain. Yeah. So finally, like, because I did not speak English, the other actors are already speak English. So I was so nervous. But somehow when I did the audition, somebody in the room was crying. So it's the director loved that authenticity as a Chinese woman, a human being, have this heart, belief, passion, and truthful realness, honesty. That's how I got this part. Finally, basically, Richard Gere has to say yes. They flew me all the way to Hong Kong because he was on his way to Nepal and to practice his religion, right? He's Buddhist. So I went to Hong Kong. They put me in this beautiful peninsula hotel. So fancy. I said, wow, this is star's life. Look like it's all in the ocean. You see all the views. It's beautiful. Finally, they bring up to his room. I was so nervous there outside waiting for the suite. Finally, he opened the door, this handsome man, he said, was that talented, beautiful actress you? I said, what? I don't know what he was talking about. He just watched the screen test. He's all the way, he loved me. He loved my honesty, truthfulness. And he'd been to my hometown, Chengdu. He played piano, I play pipa. He know all the poems from my country because my province has a lot of poems from there. Because it's always raining, so people are in touch with their heart, write poetry. So we bond from day one. So he take me over in Hong Kong, everywhere. He just embraced me, asked me to God every day. So no, I don't want, because I don't really know him. I just want, I knew the power. I knew the conviction I can give to this character. So that's how I won. It's by my sincerely devotion and love and honesty to the craft of acting.
Also
the rightness to, as a human being, I want to do something right to help people.
Absolutely. I definitely understand that. That's a good feeling to be able to do that, you know. Yeah. So what other projects are you working on any new films right now? Any new projects coming out?
I can't hear you properly. What? Slow.
Okay. Are you working on any new films? Any new projects coming out this year?
Oh, yeah. So I have so many projects. If you go to my IMDb, I just actually renewed my real pictures. It's fascinating. Okay. I have so many projects there. You can check it also on my I Am Biling Instagram. I post. And my most proud of the work is the film I made my directorial debut, the film called My Quarantine Romance with Toilet Paper. It's a comedy. It's hilarious. And it's so current. It's about quarantine. We're still in quarantine. And this film actually conceived still in the process of giving birth. I'm talking to my editor today and still have some things that haven't finished. So it's a braveness. It's a positivity. In most difficult time, you still can find the beauty, find the light, find contribution, find your talent to connect to the current situation, to dedicate to art. You know, use your wisdom, your power, your passion to give something. You know, I know people will love this film because it's through comedy, you know, it's a lot of laughter, a lot of a ridiculous incident. It's about toilet paper. So it's the first time in history, I don't have toilet paper. First time in history, people talking about lack of toilet paper. You can talk about no food, no water, but toilet paper. So I went out to protest. I said, it's quarantine. It's not about digesting problem. Why toilet paper is gone? So it's my real life experience because I did not have toilet paper. So I turned into a film. I feel like I celebrate my braveness of I have the vision, I follow my vision and go all the way through. So I think this film will go viral because it's we're all living in this time. We all understand. And through comedy, we learn a lot of, through comedy and tears, we learn a lot of things about ourselves, learn about love, relationship, about what is important in life.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing that film. Yeah. Hello, my name is Jai Bino. You're on the J-Man Show. My guest today is Ayana. How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Hi.
Yeah. So the reason so like I said, you were so wonderful in the movie I saw. I forget the name of it, but it was a wonderful movie, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, the whole cast was wonderful. So I just want to talk to you about how you started in the business and how you got based, how you got that role.
Okay. Well, the movie's called Holiday Heist and it's on BET. It came out last year. And, well, I booked it and booked the role in Chicago, so I live in Chicago right now at the moment. And I auditioned for it, and it was fun, and I enjoyed working on the project and working with everyone else in the film as well. I graduated from college in Chicago in like 2017 and have been working nonstop like since graduating. So this was just one of the many things I was able to do, you know, pre-COVID and all that stuff.
Yeah. So how did you get started in entertainment business? Because that's, you know, that's a blessing, right? To be working in the entertainment business, you know, meet some wonderful people, wonderful people, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've always been like interested in the arts. Yeah, so I've been singing and dancing from a very early age, and then I went to high school and studied music. And then when it was time to go to college, I chose acting as a career, as a, you know, to get my degree in. And after college, you know, I knew it was something I wanted to continue to do. And Chicago has over like 250 theaters. So I started out in like theater in Chicago and like worked my way up the theater, like, you know, chain. And Chicago also shoots a lot of television shows. So I've been fortunate enough to be on The Chi, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, and Empire, and then do this movie as well. So I've had a short career, but I intend for it to be long. So
absolutely, because I can tell you definitely going to go far. I mean, yeah.
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah. So. So what's it like to be famous? I mean, it's all people say. What's it like to be famous? To be a famous actress? You know?
I am not a famous actress.
Oh, not?
One day I will know for sure. But I look forward to that day. But right now I'm still working to, you know, get my name out there and do the things I need to do. I'm just building up my resume right now at this point. I wouldn't call myself a famous actress at all, but it is an aspiration of mine. I would like to acquire some fame and notoriety, and like I would like to do enough work for people to know who I am and stuff like that. So that would be great. You know, I look forward to that day.
Me too. You're definitely, you know, because I'm also an actor myself, so I look forward to that day too. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So So basically, what other projects are you working on now?
Right now, well, I'm on a bit of a hiatus, I guess, like a lot of people because of COVID-19. I still audition. I do a lot of auditioning, and you know, with what the industry is giving at this point, but. It's been a lot, like this year's been pretty much a lot of downtime, which I am, part of me is grateful for, because prior to this I have been working like consistently nonstop and it was nice, but now I'm just ready. Like I miss acting so much and I would really love to get back to it. But I think that the opportunity will come when it's supposed to, and then I'll be ready for it.
It will be. So what made you want to become an actor? I'm an actress. What inspired you to become an actress?
I believe it's my, like, I love to like transform and like growing up, I always wanted to play pretend and stuff like that and play dress up and remake or relive like movies we used to watch as a kid and stuff like that. And I love to like put on a show for like my family and be the center of attention, growing up. So I think it was always like destined for me to do something where I'd be like on stage or like seen, by a lot of people. Yeah, I don't know. There was never a day where I think I felt like, yes, I want to be an actress. I just always knew, like, when I was little, like, I'm going to be a star when I grow up, So I just had to, find the gift that gets me there, whether it be dance, singing, or acting,
I hear you. Yeah. So what inspires you? What gives you hope? What gives you inspiration and hope, creativity?
My family.
Okay.
The support that my family gives me and black people and just like I have a younger cousin who's coming up and a younger sister who's starting out in the industry. So they definitely inspire me because I want to be able to put myself in a position where I can be lifting them up as well and bringing them into the industry and providing like some kind of like building blocks or platforms for them to step on as well as they come up in this industry. So they definitely inspire me to work harder and to stay focused so that they have something to look forward to when they get where I'm at right now,
I hear you, absolutely. So what advice can you give actors who want to be an actor, a star? What advice can you give them who want to be following in your footsteps?
I say do it. I mean,
Yeah.
there are people who they're firefighters, there are all these jobs in the world that somebody's got to do. Acting is one of those jobs. Somebody's got to do it, and why can't it be you? If you believe that you're meant to perform and to do things and you have a passion for TV and film and a passion for, language and, characters and stuff like that. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is the world for you. And there's so many different like ways of participating in this like industry. Not just acting, directing and writing and producing, but if you are wanting to like acting is I mean actors are actors. Like somebody's got to do it. Why can't it be you? That's what I always say. It's like it's a job. And why can't I apply for this job? That's what auditioning is, applying for jobs back to back to back. So I say just do
I hear you, sister. I do. That's
it.
I definitely hear you. So how do you deal with rejection? I mean, it must hurt, right? Being rejected, it must hurt, right? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think I attribute my ability to cope with rejection to my like upbringing and like my confidence I have in myself. Like, I don't worry about the things that I don't get because what's for me will be mine. I know that. I'm confident that when something I have something, it's because I was meant to have it. And if I don't, it wasn't for me. And I don't worry myself with it afterwards. I try to keep a very positive mindset. And of course, there are times when I'm like, oh, why isn't this happening when I want it to happen? Like, I've gotten four no's this week, can I just get one yes? But everything happens for a reason. Everything happens when it's supposed to. And I truly believe that. And as long as I'm doing my work and I'm studying and I'm practicing and I'm, focused, my mind will come. And all the other stuff, all the rejections, they're just opportunities for other people. And I'm happy about that as well.
Absolutely, I hear that. So, what do you like to do? What do you like to do in your spare time when you're acting? What would you like to do for fun when you're not, performing?
I really love like makeup and fashion and food.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of eating and I try to like
Yeah.
find a lot of like new good foods and I love, makeup and styling and like clothes and fashion and stuff. So you'll always find me like doing my makeup or putting together some outfits or obsessed with like a new food trend and just trying it out or something like that. I also love spending time with my friends and like animals, dogs and alpacas and llamas in particular. Like those are my favorite animals. And you know, I spend a lot of time with my family. Like my family and I are very close. Right now I'm back home with my family, not in Chicago anymore because, you know, it's the holidays. My sister and I drove back home. So,
Well, hello
yeah.
there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station.
Hello, my name is Jai Bond. You're on the J-Man Show. My guest today is Sister Cindy, Sister Cindy Cowan, a wonderful director from LA. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show today.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. Often, so good to see you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the entertainment business?
So I am a producer of film and TV, and I got started a long time ago. This was not supposed to be my profession. I went to college, graduated with a degree in psychology, took that infamous year off, came out to Los Angeles, not knowing what I was going to do, got fascinated with the business, started literally as a PA and worked my way up. And at the time, there were majors and mini majors that were financing movies. Majors were the studios. They were the, and at the time, it was so different. We're talking over 20 years ago. Studio films were $10 million and more, which is far cry from what they are now. Mini majors were kind of, or the independents were like 3 million and under. And there was a hole of people not making the movies that were like 5, 6, and 7 million. That was considered a very dangerous kind of financial model of how to make movies. And I just kind of said one day, I want to be them. I want to be in that world. And I started a company. And 5 years after I started the company, we had gotten 4 Oscar nominations, Golden Globes, People's Choice. We won the United Nations Award, People's Choice Award, and that was it. It was kind of a fluke.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So what films have you produced? I've had you a chance to work on.
What films have I done? God, a lot. Traffic with Michael Douglas, If These Walls Could Talk with Demi Moore, Cher and Sissy Spacek, Very Bad Things with Christian Slater and Cameron Diaz, Jeremy Piven, Jon Favreau, I don't know, there's so many to choose from. We did a movie with I did a movie with Robert De Niro. I've done a movie with Woody Harrelson. I mean, there's a lot on the resume.
Oh yeah. So what's it like to work with stars, celebrities? Are they nice to you on set? I mean, it must be awesome to work, people of that nature,
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody's different, you know. Some are great and very welcoming, some are very professional and standoffish, some have their own quirks. But yeah, you know, I think people are people, so yeah, they're good.
Yeah, so now I know I know you that you look the time you looked at Valentine Lester, right? A great actor, God bless his soul, yeah. How did his death affect you? Because it really affected me. He's one of the greatest actors, from Friday. So yeah. So how does his his.
Yeah, I mean, Tiny was like my brother. I was the godmother to his daughter. I'm used to Tiny being at my house at least twice a week. We kind of, he was my big brother. So his death very much affected me. It was to see how this virus can affect you and how quickly it can take you out was quite shocking. And I don't think I've still processed Tiny's death fully.
Yeah. So how was the COVID affecting you? Is it affecting you and movies right now? Is this coronavirus?
Yeah, all of our movies have stopped. We're, nothing will film. I do movies, some of my movies with Sony, those are my next movies, and they won't start filming potentially maybe this summer. It all depends on the virus. A lot of people's films are stopping and starting, and they, you know, it's costing huge amounts of dollars to the studios. So for at least right now, the studio that I'm with has decided no movies will go for at least the next 5 months.
I see. Wow, that's kind of sad, you know. Yes. Yeah. So what advice can you give people that want to be in the business like me as an actor? What advice can you give us as an actor, you know, that want to have a profession in the business, you know, because they want to, you know, be like a star? What advice can you give us, you know, especially me, you know?
I mean, doing just what you're doing, get in front of the camera, let people see you, know you, reach out to as many people as you can, see if they answer back. You know, and then do a reel. You know, there's so many student films out there that are always filming, and they're always looking for different actors to play different roles. And what we as producers look at is, can you act? You know, is there a range of acting? You know, can you be a different look each time? You know, can you do accents, et cetera, et cetera? And so it's the more you can have on a reel, the better it is. And then obviously secure an agent or a manager if you can, and then go through breakdowns, go through anything that's filming or working, including plays, anything that you can do. And, you know, it's just getting out there in front of people.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I've actually been a movie called, I was a movie called, Much More Stuff Can Happen with Martin Lawrence. And I did a movie as an actor, and I did a movie called, James. That was good. So I got to meet them.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful. Yep. And then I was I started my podcast show. So yeah, so I'm
so, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm doing pretty good. So you know, so yeah, so I appreciate advice.
Good. Good for you.
Thank you. So what do I like to do in your spare time when you're not directing? What do I like to do for fun?
I like to travel. My big thing is traveling. I like to see the world and experience it all. I also do a lot of charitable work. So that's one of my joys. So seeing the world and helping others is basically what I really enjoy the most. Okay. Any chance I can get, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think we can do to change the world, to make the world better, in your opinion?
You know, making the world better is doing whatever you can, whether, you know, depending on what your passion is, whether it's feeding the homeless, you know, making someone's day, building, you know, thing. I do so many varied charities. You know, one of my charities is we give musical instruments to children in impoverished areas so that they can stay in music school 5 days a week after regular school is let out. You know, in that particular charity, we're monitoring kids' gang activity, their drug use, and giving them, you know, after school curriculums that they wouldn't normally be able to get. You know, I work with a charity that lights up hospitals in third world countries where, you know, without electricity, darkness can mean death because there's no light to operate. You know, recently, though, with the coronavirus and the amount of homeless people in LA, I do simple things like buying food and driving in my car and handing out meals and water to homeless. So, you know, changing the world is whatever you can do. People think it's got to be so grand, or they don't have any money, or they don't have any time. You can always make time. It changed one person's day, and you've made a difference.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. So what do I look for in an actor? I mean, you see me. What do you see as an actor?
I mean, I don't look at a person and say, "Look at him as an actor." You have to read. You know, you have to be auditioning for a role. You have to be right for it. You know, somebody can not look like an actor at all, and all of a sudden, you know, go into a character and be one of the best actors you've ever seen. Other people think just because they're a good-looking person or whatever, they can walk in a room and they've got it, and they don't. They're horrible when the cameras, you know, turn on. So I don't think anybody looks at somebody and says, "You're an actor."
Have you ever wanted to be an actress yourself?
Not really. I probably picked the wrong side. That side makes a lot more money than my side does. So, but no, I've not really.
I see. Okay. So what do you see yourself? Down the line?
Down the line, as far as you know, I just want to get back on sets and produce again. You know, everything that, like I said, is at a standstill right now. We're venturing into reality a little bit, not much, but classy reality shows. We're going to get it more into some scripted TV as well. And yeah, I'm just doing what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. I guess that's true. Yeah. So what's the best thing and worst thing about being a director? What's the best thing about being a director and worst thing about being a director?
I'm not a director, so I can't say what the best thing is. I would think that directors love it because they love to create story and they love to bring, you know, characters to life and bring a film, you know, together. But I am not a director.
What's up? This is the J-Man Show. I'm your host, Jai Bino. My guest today is the actor, producer, director, Kelly Perrin. From the Parenthood, One-on-One. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming to the show. I appreciate it. Good to see you, brother.
Hey, man, you know, thank you so much for thinking about me. Thank you for having me, to all of your viewers and fans out there. What's up? High fives to all of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. My first question is, what made you want to become an actor and how did you get started in the business?
Well, you know what? I'm originally from Central Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. You know, my dad taught at Penn State. Mm-hmm. So I grew up there and he was actually a performer. My father was a performer. He did a lot of community theater. He did a lot of musicals, that type of thing. So by the time I was 3, 4, 5, I was already, you know, up on stage, you know, because I would go with my dad to the, you know, rehearsals and the performances and that type of thing. And, you know, eventually I, you know, got dragged up on stage and I was a kid who liked attention, you know, both positive and negative. Yeah. And I realized, you know what, you can do this theater thing and you can get positive attention, you know, and not get your honey whooped. So I go, let me go ahead and, you know, continue doing this. So from the time I was 4 or 5, I was on the stage, I was doing musicals, I was doing community theater. And so that's how I kind of got into it. I went to school for high school outside Chicago. And then when I came to California, I went to Pomona College to go to school, and I did a lot of improv comedy and theater. And then I went to UC Irvine, which is that, to get my master's in drama. And so, you know, by the time I was a sophomore, junior in college, I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to try to get as good as I can at it. So, you know, really, I've been performing since I was 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how'd you get your role on One-on-One and the Parenthood? And what was that working with Flex and Robert Townsend? So those are some awesome people.
Those two shows, I'll take them one at a time. You know, luckily I've, you know, been able to be on a lot of really good shows, worked with, like, you know, iconic people, because I know Robert Townsend was somebody that I watched growing up. Yeah. And so I got a chance to, in the last season of the show, The Parenthood, they say, hey, do you want to come on and do you want to play Robert Townsend's brother? I'm like, oh, of course I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it was Robert Townsend who did everything, you know, from like Hollywood Shuffle, and, you know, Meteor Man, I believe it was. And so he was one of those people that was fighting for folks like me to have representation in the industry. So for the season I was there, I would kind of try to soak up as much as I could from him. Mm-hmm. Because when you're a pioneer, like Robert, you know, is a pioneer, you kind of want to try to figure out, you know, what it is he's doing. And there's a fearlessness, mm-hmm, that he had that's like, look, I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you like it is. Hollywood needs to go ahead and represent us in a way that's different than they've been representing us. And so I'd go to work every day and I got to, you know, work alongside a legend and I got to learn from him. And it was just fantastic every day working with, you know, Robert Townsend. And to this day, and the beauty of a lot of the shows that I've worked on, I've stayed friends with a lot of the people that I work with. So to this day, you know, Robert Townsend and I, you know, are good friends. I'm not going to say he's going to pick me up from the airport, you know, but he's a good friend of mine. And so One-on-One was a different thing in that I auditioned for One-on-One. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was I was 1 or 2 years out of school.
Yeah.
And I remember that it was Tommy Davidson, who I knew from In Living Color, because I was watching Living Color. I'm like, oh man, it's Tommy Davidson. Mm-hmm. Then there was Kadeem Hardison, who was from, you know, A Different World, and Dwayne Wayne, and, you know, like, you know, iconic A Different World. Dondre Whitfield, who, you know, was coming off of, you know, The Cosby Show and the ABC, one of the ABC soap operas. So, you know, these were like three big name cats and me. You know, like, I'm like fresh out of school. I'm like, what did I do? One of these things is not like the other. Yeah. But I was like, wow, man, this is, you know, thank you, whoever up there, mm-hmm. for letting me be part of this collective. And thank you, you know, Yanetta Boone was the name of the executive producer. So thank you, Yanetta, for believing that I could go ahead and hold my own with these three, yeah. Other heavyweights, you know?
Yeah.
And again, it was another situation where I was sitting there going, let me learn as much as I can from these guys. Mm-hmm. Let me be a sponge, and let me just absorb, you know, because Tommy Davidson is quick as they come. Yeah. You know, and Dondre, professional, you know, and Kadeem, it was so great to work with him. And a lot of times I was on set, I'm like, and I would look around and I'd be like, look at this kid from, you know, from Central Pennsylvania, this kid who did community theater, this kid who was just happy to get a couple lines in the play. And look at me here with these Hollywood heavyweights who I watched and who I, you know, idolized, and I'm, you know, my name is said in the same sentence as theirs. So it was very, very humbling. And to this day, I feel very blessed that I was able to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Because I actually met Tom Davidson. He was a nice guy. You know, I saw him on a show in Boston. He was so nice to talk for a bit. Yeah. So, yeah. And so just
good.
Yep. So I hear you saying, yeah. So I guess my next question for you is, is what are you working on right now? Are you working on any of the project TV shows? And are you staying on because of the current situation with the coronavirus going around?
Well, look, the thing is, you know, when COVID hit, mm-hmm. For me as an artist, mm-hmm. I was used to, you know, not being, you know, for going a couple months without work, you know, because that's what we actors do. Yeah. You know, we audition and then, you know, something goes and then we have to look for our next thing. So during COVID, I've actually been lucky in that I just got finished doing an episode of Family Reunion, yeah. with Richard Roundtree, a great cast, one of the girls from Sister.
Oh, wow.
Tia Mowry, wow. I do believe. So, you know, Hollywood is trying to figure out how it's going to open back up safely. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of places are shutting back down, and so Hollywood, you know, was trying to figure that out as well. But the show I just did, they were very diligent about testing folks and wearing masks and wearing face shields and that type of thing. So I'm very lucky to be in an industry here in Hollywood where they're taking it, you know, taking it seriously. We all want to be back to work. Sure, that's a given. But we want to make sure we go back to work safely.
Yes.
So I was able to do that. I've been able to do a couple of other, you know, short film projects where everybody is also taking it, you know, very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. So, and I also actually wrote a book. I wrote a book during the pandemic. I didn't actually start out to write a book. Uh-huh. It was like a daily journal, mm-hmm. Of what was going on in terms of the coronavirus, in terms of politics, because, you know, we just got through a crazy election, and so some of my thoughts on the election and right. and that type of stuff. So for 230 straight days I was chronicling what was going on, and I'm going to turn that into a book that's going to come out in 2021. So I'm keeping it busy. As an artist, you always have to try to create your own work, yeah. because you're going to hear a lot of no's out there, mm-hmm. and, you know, you just let it roll off your back and you got to keep going. So I've been trying to stay busy, and luckily, knock on wood, I've been able to stay busy while, you know, all this coronavirus craziness is going on.
Well, that's definitely good. So are you going to do a book tour for your book? A book tour anytime soon?
Say again?
Are you going to be doing a book tour for your book?
Well, you know what? I think the book's probably going to come out in late 2021. So maybe, you know, in 2022 after the vaccine gets out there. Because, look, man, I'm a person who likes to press the flesh. Yeah. I love to hug people. I love to shake hands. I love to do all that, you know. And so, I mean, I love meeting folks doing on the Zoom, but I love being in the room and hugging. For hey, how are you? Here, sign the book. Let me hug you. Yeah. So maybe in 2021, 2022, you know, when things open back up, I'll do a book tour.
Oh, that sounds good. I look forward to meeting you too. You know, so yeah, and yeah, so I just my next question is, what advice can you give me and other artists that want to be an actor like you or be famous? You know, what advice can you give me? You know,
well, hello there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station.
Hello, this is the J-Man Show. I'm your host, Jai, a.k.a. the J-Man Bino. My guest is DJ Kool, from your song, I forget your song. What's your song again?
Definitely Let Me Clear My Throat. You should know that. You do that every day.
Yeah, I got
clear throat every day. Let me clear my throat. Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking time to meet me. You know. Okay, so I guess I'll start by telling about myself first. Basically, you know, I'm 41 years old. I'm an artist. I've written some songs. My producer and I done approval some songs. On YouTube. We're trying to get our music ready and get a record deal, you know, and looking out for some help, you know, so we've reached out to people, you know, and I'm glad, and we've met you, and I'm glad we got to meet you, because, you know, and so I guess that's that, you know. So I've been singing since I was 12 in the church choir. I started singing in church, singing gospel, then I met my first daughter, Boone, and we started making songs since 2000. So we've been doing this for 21 years now. So, So, and we've been trying to, you know, just meet people like you, you know, and sort of maybe take us to that next level, you know. So, yeah, so but that's about us, you know. That's what me, you know. And Don's a producer, he worked with New Kids on Block, New Edition, and Michael Jackson. So basically, we're just trying to, you know, get a foot in the door, you know. So I guess that's just.
I tell you, it's a lot easier now, mm-hmm. I would say, than it used to be when I was current as an artist,
mm-hmm.
Because of the internet and because of social media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Back in the 80s and the 90s, obviously, there was no such thing. You know what I mean? So we had to get out. We had to hit the street if we were going to do it, you know, independently as far as our marketing and promotion is concerned,
yeah.
Or had to rely on the marketing and promotion, team, for lack of a better word, from a record company, mm-hmm. and whatnot, and so. We really had to hustle back then.
Yeah.
Nowadays, man, you could upload your music, press a button, and it's all over the world.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, social media is doing a lot better now, you know, because they all accept that, you know, absolutely.
And that's with no promotion, no marketing, or nothing. She just heard the song, got her live dance class. They did the dance that goes to the video, and she posted it, and it went off. And so, I am talking to some people now, though, about actually signing the record and officially putting it out this year.
Okay.
Cha-cha-cha.
Okay, that sounds well. I'll definitely check it out. You know, I'll send my email, and I'd love to hear, you know. And I'll try and send some music to tonight. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah. I'll send to you by WeTransfer. Is that okay?
That's normally where I send music through WeTransfer. That's like my go-to right there.
Okay, cool. Yeah, okay. So my question is, how is this COVID affecting you right now? How is the pandemic affecting you physically?
Well, I like being out in front of the people. You know what I mean? So that part is killing me.
Okay.
but I had to kind of shift gears. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing everything virtually right now. I have a broadcast that comes on every Monday night from 8 to 10 on a platform called Go-Go Radio Live.
Okay.
Nothing but 80s and 90s go-go music.
Mm-hmm.
Every Monday night. And so now we actually just went to the TV apps. So you can now see us on Amazon Fire TV. Mm-hmm. You can see us on Roku. You can see us on YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
What is the other ones? It's a few more, but you can definitely see us on those. And you can also hear us on the podcast channels, iHeartRadio, and a few others. But once again, that's every Monday from 8 to 10 on Go-Go Radio, and I call my show Monday Night Live. Nothing but 80s and 90s Go-Go. So that's Chuck Brown, Trouble Funk, EU, Razzes, all of that. The 80s and 90s Go-Go, yeah.
That's perfect. You know, that's definitely wonderful. You know, I look forward to hearing that, you know. Yeah. Okay, so my next question is what inspires you? What gives you inspiration as an artist?
I mean, I just love what I do, man. I love it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the gift that I was given, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get out here and just make people feel good using my musical talent. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I mean, you know, for a lot of folks, it might sound very cliche, but for me, like, it was either going to be sports or music.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where all my talent lies at. Like, I was a four-sport athlete.
Uh-huh.
Coming up, I was very good in four different sports. Mm-hmm. And so, in my head, I was either going to be in the NBA or at least playing Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my school choices, that didn't happen. So God was like, you know what? I don't want you to be an athlete. I want you to be a musician. So DJ Kool, once again, 1978, start making songs in 1986, had a very big record in 1996.
Yeah.
I'm here talking to you. I've been in this industry over 40 years. As a matter of fact, this year marks the 25-year anniversary of Let Me Clear My Throat.
Wow. Congratulations. You deserve it, you know. It's a big record. You deserve it, all the records you got, you know. And it's an honor to talk to you, too, you know. I've been on my show. Thank you. So what advice can you give artists that are trying to get a record deal like myself? What advice can you give us, you know, that want to be, you know, that want to follow you?
Well, other than what we spoke about earlier, as far as just getting out here and promoting yourself and marketing yourself using the internet and social media, you need good management. You need to surround yourself with good folks. So you need a good business manager, and you need a good entertainment lawyer, right? Those people are going to be kind of hard to find as far as, you know, like good people. Let's put it that way. I mean, good people are hard to find in general. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest finding a good entertainment lawyer first.
Yeah.
And having that and building, you know, a nice relationship with that person, a nice business relationship with that person, and then have them to introduce you to a good business manager, because these are the people that they deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
They deal with people's management, and so business managers rather. And so that's what I would say.
That's wonderful advice, you know. Yeah. So my question is, how did the George Floyd incident affect you? How is this, you know, this whole race thing affecting, you know? My next question is, how did the George Floyd incident affect you? How do you deal with, you know, racism, you know, and what's going on, you know, cop shooting? How do you deal with that stuff, you know, as an artist?
I mean, hey, man, I'm a very firm believer in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he has me regardless. I have a full understanding of what my ancestors went through, you know, that came here before me, that were brought over here forcefully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm well aware of all that. I know how a lot of them operate.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong. Once again, this is going to sound very cliche, but I got white friends. We all got white friends. You know what I mean? But I'm as cool with you as you are with me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, as long as you respect me as a human, as a man, then we good. But the minute that you try to treat me the way that your racist ancestors treated my ancestors, mm-hmm. and we got a problem. Yeah. See, we got a problem now. And I'm not afraid to let you know we got a problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to step to you. You know what I mean? I'm stepping right to you, because what you need to understand is I'm not my ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
I think way different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I was born during the time of my ancestors, mm-hmm. I would have been dead. They would have killed me.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not about to hit me with no whip or nothing. We're not doing that. Yeah. So they would. I would have died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how I am. I'll fight for mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people that do the type of things that you've seen in that George Floyd case,
yeah.
I expect that from you, because I know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Breonna Taylor, all of those situations, Tamir Rice, all of those situations, I expect that from you. I know who you are, and I know how to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you act like that in front of my face, mm-hmm. or whether you act like that behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
And if you're smiling in my face and you acting like that behind my back, then you eventually God will expose you to me.
Yes.
You see? Mm-hmm. That's just the way I feel about it. He will expose you to me, because he knows that you don't mean me no good.
Mm-hmm.
You mean me harm in some way. So being though I'm a child of his,
mm-hmm.
and I'm protected by him, and I trust him to protect me, he's going to expose you to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to deal with you once that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes. Okay.
So it's either you're going to respect me and do right by me the way that you expect me to respect you and do right by you, mm-hmm. or the best thing for you to do is leave me alone. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't have any time or tolerance for
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Exactly.
I'm not my ancestor.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't say that.
I really, really mean that. I'm 62 years old. I'll be 63 in March.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'll be 63 years old in March. I'm proud to say that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Mm-hmm. And so coming up in, I would say I was born 1958. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll start knowing about what was going on around me probably by the time I got maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I start being aware of my surroundings when I seen the riots for Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
I was 10 years old when that happened. I will never forget that day.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
So from that point on, I start understanding what racism is.
Yes.
And why it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that no matter what happens, no matter how long we're going to be out here, mm-hmm. there are still people that feel like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Look at what happened. Okay, once again, I'm here in D.C., correct? Look mm-hmm. at what happened here, what, about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Yes, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right? Yeah. All of those folks that were out there,
mm-hmm.
you already know how they feel about me and you.
Yeah, I do, yes.
You already know it.
Mm-hmm.
All them Trump supporters, that's what they're about. They about that life.
Yes.
They don't care nothing about no black folks, and they was out there proving it to you.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But this is what they don't understand. I had all these people out here talking about a civil war,
mm-hmm.
which is just another word for a race war. All right? Soon as that goes down,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to pick a side. And you're a little bit too dark to be on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see? So we're going to let you know exactly what time it is. We're going to let you know your place. And we're going to bang you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. And then those of us that are in opposition to them, because you're a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? You don't have nowhere to run.
Yeah.
Right or wrong?
You're right. You can't go anywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have nowhere to run. Yeah. You white folks don't really rock with you like that.
Yeah.
I think they do, but they really don't.
They don't? Yeah.
No damn way we don't, because you turn your back on us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You ain't got nowhere to run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you. I feel sorry for a lot of interracial couples.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that. When that goes down,
mm-hmm.
they ain't got nowhere to run.
That's true.
The interracial couples
mm-hmm.
ain't got nowhere to run.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's just a fact. Now, did we make it like that? No. We're just out here defending ourselves like we've always done.
Exactly.
See? But yeah. if and when a situation does come down like that,
mm-hmm.
those folks, they ain't got nowhere to run, because they putting you in a position, they're forcing you to have to pick a side. And you don't have to pick a side. You already know. Me and you know what side we on already. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, but y'all made it like that. So mm-hmm. we're just going to be out here continuing to defend ourselves mm-hmm. because this is what you want.
Yes.
We are peaceful people. You know that for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
We are very peaceful folk, people. Yeah. We will tolerate so much mess. Look,
mm-hmm.
how can you set up here and just completely discredit what happened to your, oh, I don't know, great, 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 great grandmother
mm-hmm.
or grandfather? How can you discredit that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I wasn't there, blah, blah, blah. Well, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here, you idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So how could you discredit that? That don't make sense.
Well, no, it doesn't. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that, you know?
You know what I mean? I'm not asking you a question. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like you discrediting your mother and father. Mm-hmm. But then again, you have your grandparents, right? And then let's take it back one more. You have your grandparents' parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's take it back one more. You have your grandparents' parents.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take it back one more. You got your grandparents, parents.
Yes.
And you take this all the way back. So all of these people are your family. This is your bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for all of these people that came before you, all your ancestors,
mm-hmm.
From the bloodline that you came out of, there would be no me and there would be no you.
Mm-hmm.
That don't even make... There's no way that could happen. That's just, you know what I mean? So how could you discredit that?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you don't know them because you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are the reason why you, and the grace of God, the reason why you exist.
Well, hello there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station.